Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my sweet wife and soulmate, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, ta-da, my dear, and shalom to all, as we continue in the book of Daniel. And it's all on our webpage if you need to catch up. We began chapter 7 last time, which is a little deeper study than the first six chapters. And we will finish in chapter 7 and do chapter 8 tonight, right after we ask for God's presence.
Dear Lord, our Abba Father, we commit all our works to you and ask for your divine presence in our continued learning. May your Holy Spirit dwell with us as we pray tonight's study brings glory to you. We pray for peace in Israel and in Ukraine while bestowing those involved with your wisdom according to your divine will. We plead supernatural protection and a quick release for Israel's remaining hostages. And may you consider all the petitions of those who are called by your name as we continue to pray for the salvation of our loved ones. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Purim this week.
Yes, it is. Wednesday at sundown till Thursday at sundown. One of the lesser feasts that celebrates their miraculous survival from a likely massacre in Persia from the wicked Prime Minister Haman. So they celebrate in Persian costumes with feasting and, most importantly, reading the whole book of Esther. The main character, who spoke truth to her husband, King Artaxerxes, also known by his title Ahasuerus.
We should all reread Esther this week in thanksgiving for sparing the Jewish people.
So Jesus could be born.
Mm-hmm.
And what else is happening on Thursday night around midnight?
A full blood moon, and all of us will be able to see it.
That's right, the whole entire United States. But it's also at the close of Purim. And just a reminder, Joel 2:31 prophesies that there will be a blood moon just before the day of the Lord. And the Hebrew word for before is panim, meaning at the forefront. And there is another one, though, next year, also on Purim.
But we're hoping this year begins the day of the Lord.
We surely are.
What's the latest with Israel?
Well, there's more meetings began today in Doha on phase two. Meanwhile, phase one ceasefire has been extended. Still 59 hostages, with about only 24 still alive. And up north, the IDF is striking weapon infrastructures and launching pads as Hezbollah defies their agreement to remove them and themselves from the southern area.
Still, many of Israeli citizens are returning to their homes in northern Israel.
And we're happy to say they are.
You have some sad news, though.
I do. The security forces in the new Syrian government called HTS, after its new leader Golani, carried out some brutal massacres targeting Shiites and Christians living in the northwest Alawite community in Syria, which, by the way, Assad, that the last ruler, was a Shiite Alawite. And so that's why they don't like him. But tens of thousands have been displaced and over 1,000 killings, some torturously. The HTS are Sunni Muslims and, as I said, hate the Shia.
And apparently Christians, too.
Yeah, who are asking for help.
Will Israel step in?
Perhaps. We hope so.
Meetings begin today in Saudi Arabia about Ukraine.
Yes, and now Zelensky wants to make a deal.
We'll see.
And sadly, anti-Semitism is still on the rise in colleges all over the United States, with massive student walkouts called for in response to the arrest of Mahmoud Khalil, an organizer of many riots. And even certain members of Congress, like Rashida Tlaib, are in lockstep with these students. And Biden's presidency may be entirely illegitimate, as the AutoPen scandal exposes a shadow government, which leads to the question, and we always talked about this, who's really running the White House back then?
All right, then. We do welcome your comments and end time questions either by email to Sheila@shofarministry.net or call the office, leaving a detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. And if you could tuck in a love offering, we would really appreciate that, which will add you to our correspondence list. You can receive our electronic newsletters when you sign up with any donation on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find also our past radio and teaching newsletters archived for your learning pleasure.
And we will continue now in Chapter 7, but first, a little announcement that next week we will replay a program from our archives on your most asked for program, and that's on the pre-trib rapture scriptures, especially from the Old Testament.
Because the pre-trib catching away, it's not a new idea.
It surely is not. And we have a family function to attend, and we'll resume the week after in Daniel chapter 9. So read up ahead of time because it has a lot of stake. So now let's continue in Daniel.
But first, a quick summary of chapter 7 so far from last week.
Okay. Daniel takes us back to when King Belshazzar was reigning only about a year, when Daniel had his first dream of the four great beasts we know represents the four empires, starting with his current empire of Babylon.
Then came the Medes and Persians as the bear.
And followed by Greece as the leopard, and finally Rome with its iron teeth. We also spoke of how Daniel's dream represented the same four empires that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream in chapter 2, but rather in the image of a man, each consecutive section having a different, stronger metal, finishing with legs of iron.
Ending with the feet of iron, but mixed with clay.
Yes, people mixed with metal, which is appropriate for this last generation of probable coming hybrids. I would think the chips market would be a good stock option right now.
Well, Taiwan will be building a chips plant in the U.S.
I heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Nebuchadnezzar saw his dream as a man would relate to it. But in Daniel's dream is how God sees the empires as beasts, with the worst being Rome. And instead of 10 toes in the statue, now show up as 10 horns.
Meaning rulership.
Represented as Revelation 17 confirms, 10 major elite rich men of Revelation 6:15 that are prominent figures, I believe, right now. And I'm sure some names come to your minds.
It does.
And we discussed last week that there had to be a gap of time between the iron legs of verse 7 and the feet with clay in verse 8. It had to be that way for it to make any sense, because we are right now in that gap of time we call the church age.
And we gave other examples, as in Isaiah 9.
We did. And we talked about the 11th horn we recognize will be the human Antichrist.
Then Daniel's vision moves to heaven, where the judgment thrones are set up.
And Jesus will bring his bride to the Father for the good deeds judgment when the books are opened and we receive our rewards. And in the middle of all that, Daniel is reassured that evil will also be judged at the end of what we call the tribulation.
And we talked about what that will look like.
Oh, we did. And we saw that Daniel and John the Revelator both had apocalyptic visions, and that their writings do confirm each other. As in the four beasts of Revelation 13, where the Antichrist will have a combination of all those four traits.
Yes, he'll be regal, cunning, swift, and eventually very mean.
Yeah. Daniel recalls himself watching this ferocious fourth beast, which is the Antichrist making war against the tribulation saints and winning. But eventually the saints will possess the kingdom along with us when we return at the end in Revelation 19. And we saw that the title Ancient of Days can be either the Father or the Son, depending on the context, because it means
always existed and eternal,
as in the Trinity.
And that brings us to tonight in verse 23.
And the angel Gabriel's explanation of Daniel's dream that he requested in verse 16, basically explaining what we've been saying, that this fourth kingdom will be different than the other ones, and that it will reign over the whole earth and will come from among the ten. Let's call them very rich oligarchs. But this 11th horn will subdue three of them and take over.
He even speaks vile words against the Most High.
And we'll think about changing the times and the laws for the last 3.5 years out of 7, called Jacob's trouble. Then we see in verse 26 through 28 that on a judgment day, which by the way would be a Yom Kippur, also called Day of Atonement, where the Antichrist's dominion is taken away and destroyed,
and given to the saints, where the Most High will rule forever.
Amen. So chapter 7 closes with Daniel being alarmed, but kept it to himself.
Now, chapter 8, we titled The Ram and the Goat.
Yes. And we read in verse 1 that about 2 years after his first dream of chapter 7, Daniel has another. So he had a couple years to digest those beastly visions.
So 3 years into Belshazzar's reign.
Yeah, which is about 12 years before the handwriting on the wall. Remember, the first 6 chapters were chronological, and the rest are addendum chapters that fill in more information. So Daniel begins his dream by seeing himself in Susa by the Ulay Canal. Susa was a very beautiful city and served as the capital of Elam, still in the area of what we know today as Iran. But Persia back then, of course. Cyrus built a beautiful palace there.
And Susa was the home of Nehemiah.
And, of course, later Esther, when she married King Ahasuerus, who, according to Daniel 9, verse 1, was the grandson of Darius the Mede. In verse 3, Daniel sees a ram, but with 2 uneven horns. Of course, he was describing the next empire to take over Babylon, which was the Medes and the Persians, with the longer horn being the stronger Persia, who overcame the Medes prior to taking Babylon. And why the bear we saw in chapter 7? Well, that's why he was lopsided.
Gosh, how precise can prophecy be?
I know, it's pretty remarkable.
So, why the 3 ribs?
And that was for the 3 battles that Persia won, which were southern Egypt, northern Lydia, and, of course, then Babylon.
Daniel also remarked that he saw another horn came up in his last vision.
Which is because the Medes were stronger for a while, but then Persia surpassed them. Again, such precise prophecy that you know only God, using man, could have written his word. And by the way, we also know from the 4th century historian Marcellinus that the Persian King Cyrus actually wore the head of a ram when leading his army instead of the diadem crown.
And probably not aware of Daniel's dream.
Mm-hmm. It's sad that few Christians study prophecy, by the way, because it's just really fun to do. Anyhow, then in verse 5, and this would be after a while, for the word consider implies in the Hebrew, after a while. Anyway, the ram gets clobbered from the west by a male goat, described as, without touching the ground, a phrase meaning swift, like a leopard.
With a conspicuous horn in the middle of his eyes.
Yes, conspicuous. The word, that word is used in the ESV, and it means striking or notable. This represents Alexander the Great from Greece with just one horn, meaning the first ruler of Greece. And a tidbit here is that the one-horned goat was a symbol for the ancient Macedonians, of which King Philip of Macedonia was Alexander's father, who, by the way, had Alex tutored by Aristotle.
So Alex took over after his father's assassination in 336 B.C.
Yes. Anyhow, it was three fierce battles against Persia. But by October 331 B.C., and that was likely during Teshuvah.
Like Persia took Babylon, also during Teshuvah.
That's right. Anyhow, Alex had broken the Persian army by using some shrewd tactics and aggressive training to his army, along with some innovations in warfare. And this another tidbit is noteworthy. According to the historian Josephus, when Alexander approached Jerusalem to destroy it, Jaddua, the high priest at that time, showed Alex his descriptive career in chapter 8. And we'll see him again in chapter 11 of Daniel's writings, where Alexander did recognize himself and spared the city of ruin.
Similar to Cyrus seeing himself in the book of Isaiah.
And God knew they would.
Amen to that.
And critics of Daniel's writings really don't know what to do with chapter 8 and 11.
Yeah, some say it had to be added much later.
But even the Septuagint verified its authenticity when they translated the whole book of Daniel into Greek around 280 BC. But moving on, we see now in verse 8 that the one big horn, it was broken.
Alex died from a fever.
Yes, in 323 BC, after having a dissipated and drunken life, but did conquer all of the known world up to India, and I guess he just got bored. Anyhow, after the broken horn, Daniel sees four horns rise up, and of course this represents the four generals that took over four areas of the empire. Two of those generals was Ptolemy over the southern area to include Egypt, and Seleucus over the eastern area to include Syria and Babylon. But then Seleucus took over Ptolemy, and then it included Israel for a while until the little horn arises, as seen by Daniel in his dream, who we know turns out to be Antiochus Epiphanes.
We also saw a little horn in chapter 7.
Right, and that represented the Antichrist, of which Antiochus Epiphanes is a type of. It's a foreshadow of the coming revived Roman Empire. Antiochus was the brother of Seleucus, who, and this is important, he returned from living in Rome.
Rome, you say?
Yes, and we'll talk more about that in chapter 9. So when Seleucus was assassinated, Antiochus took over the kingship, and he did it mostly through flattery and bribery.
And where we get the story of Hanukkah.
That is true.
Antiochus was the eighth king of the Syrian dynasty, 175 to 164 B.C.
And verses 10 through 12 describes the satanic power behind both Antiochus and eventually the Antichrists. Their abominations and desolations, they stopped the sacrifice and they defiled the sanctuaries.
And they were both given good armies.
Mm-hmm. Then Daniel hears a holy one, which is probably an angel, speaking to another angel, wondering, how long will these abominations last? And the answer came 2,300 days, which is approximately 6 years until the Hanukkah temple was rededicated. Now in verse 16, Daniel hears a man's voice. Now this was probably Jesus. And Jesus is telling the angel Gabriel to help Daniel understand this vision as it applies to the end times. For at the appointed time, the end shall be.
In other words, it's already set.
And it is. And the Hebrew word for moed, for appointed, is moed. and it's always used for feasts 99% of the time. And it's always referring to a feast day. And I'm just saying, putting that out there. So after Gabriel explains the ram and the goat, he goes into added information of the end times concerning the Antichrist, who will be cunning, deceitful, sinister, powerful, but not by his own power.
And will destroy holy people.
As in the many martyrs, and we know that from Revelation as well.
And extol himself.
Oh, yes, and even rise against the prince of princes. And, of course, that's Yeshua, and that's also confirmed in Revelation 19. But in closing, Daniel is told to seal up the vision, for it refers to many days in the future. And Daniel's prophecies were indeed sealed, in that scholars had a hard time understanding it all correctly until this last generation, as the Holy Spirit began revealing to his saints more knowledge, as Daniel 12 says will happen.
Secular, yes, but also scripturally.
Amen. And we are very happy, and I say this all the time, to be alive for such a time as this.
Amen again.
Daniel closes chapter 8 with these words in verse 27.
And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick for days. Afterward, I arose and went about the king's business. I was astonished by the vision, but no one understood it.
And we'll delve into one of my favorite prophecies in 2 weeks, chapter 9 and Daniel's 70th week. But in the meantime, tell your pre-trib rapture skeptics who think that the rapture was a 19th century idea from a dream that Margaret MacDonald had, that while it's true she had the dream, it was because God wanted it reintroduced for the coming last generation, as it was stifled and really lost during the Dark Ages. So next week, we'll replay those scriptures that you have been asking for again. And a lot of these are from the Old Testament, which supports a pre-trib rapture. It's pretty amazing. And by the way, I just want you to know it was taught by our Christian forefathers as well. Till next time, let me first ask you an important question. Is Yeshua Lord over your life? I don't mean just when you need him as a part-time savior, but totally, all the time. Or do you even know him at all? You know, Luke 21 says that you can escape the coming fiery judgment with just a simple prayer. Just admit that you are a sinner. Repent and invite him into your spirit, into your whole being. And then let him have dominance, complete dominion over all of you, instead of the God of this world. Because honestly, if Jesus isn't ruling your life, then the devil is. There's no in between, and that's just a fact. And if you do call yourself a Christian, but you are lukewarm, get your act together now. Tithe your time in God's word. You need it for discernment. More word, more Jesus. I'll leave you with the ironic blessing from Numbers 6. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, those who love her. You're going to prosper in many different ways. Psalm 122, verse 6. So, see you in 2 weeks. Till then, tell someone about Jesus. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.